It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
This is the Fox News Rundown Extra. I'm Lisa Brady. They're still assessing damage from a flood disaster in Kentucky. Waves of heavy rain leaving whole communities underwater, killing more than 3 dozen people, with others still unaccounted for. We spoke with 2 flood survivors, including Travis Bowling, who expects to lose his house. We made some edits for time and thought you might like to hear the whole thing. So thanks for listening. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the weekday Fox News Rundown podcast. Now here's Travis Bowling on the Fox News Rundown Extra. Thank you for talking with us. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Sorry for everything that you're going through down there. I can't imagine. And I'm certainly interested to hear more from you. I'm going to jump right in with questions. Is that okay?
Yep.
Thanks, Travis. What kind of damage are you dealing with?
The floodwaters got up about 2 feet deep inside my house above the finished floor. The home is going to be considered a total loss. Then we've got sheds outside with, you know, lawn tools, workshop tools, all that stuff. The sheds, one shed we tied to a tree with a rope, saved it, but it's overturned, just junk piled up. The things piled up everywhere in it. The other shed is against the back door of the house. We had a semi in-ground pool with a deck all the way around. It washed away. And my wife and I today, we were cleaning out my kids' rooms. We sent my kids with the grandparents and cleaned out their rooms. We didn't want them to see us throwing away their personal items that are beyond salvage, you know.
Wow. Just absolutely heartbreaking. I'm glad to hear that you're all safe in your family, but that really speaks to the power of the water, the force of it. Did this get bad for your house on day one, or did it not fully hit your property until the rain kept coming back for days?
Yeah, so the rain started on Monday or Tuesday, and we live along the North Fork of the Kentucky River, and the river just continually rose. We were on vacation, actually, but we were watching the river levels through the National Weather Service's Hydrological Prediction Service. On Monday, they weren't predicting anything, you know, or Tuesday, really, that was going to bother us, or Wednesday. But the rains kept coming. We knew it was torrential rain, so we came home a day early from vacation. Wednesday, it wasn't looking that bad, so we went to bed, and 5 o'clock the next morning, my brother-in-law knocked on my door because the cell phones were out, and we don't have a landline. We just have cell phones now. Cell phones were out. Internet was out. Knocked on my door, said, "Hey, we've been trying to call you. The waters are up high. We think we need to move some stuff your stuff that's outside that's lowest. You probably ought to start moving it away just in case." So you go outside and you start moving things up that are lowest. Like, we have a couple cars parked that were down low, and moving some things out of the shed that are really valuable that we knew might get some water in them. Then the water just kept coming, and we didn't think it would ever get in the house. So we went and helped my father-in-law move a bunch of his equipment and stuff. And by the time it gets to the house, we're getting in a situation where we would be trapped in the home. So we kind of had to just put some stuff up high and evac. So we weren't able to get a lot of stuff out of the home. But it hit Thursday. I never did answer your question. It hit my home about, I guess the crest was Thursday evening about 8 o'clock. We weren't able to get into my home after about probably 10 o'clock or 12 o'clock noon, day Thursday on the 28th. So after that, that's when we had to evac about noon on Thursday.
Has this just completely put life on hold for you and for others around you? I mean, I guess it really depends on the level of devastation in some areas.
Yeah, so all of eastern Kentucky, you know, in the mountains, there's a river between or a stream between every mountain. So it's widespread devastation. The school my kids go to, the school enrollment is like 350, and they have 37 kids that are displaced from their homes. And most of the homes were, a lot of them were modular or mobile homes that just completely floated away. Mine did not float away, other than the outside stuff. But you could see, you know, outbuildings and homes and belongings floating down the river behind my house. I think there's still some people that are unaccounted for. I know they're still running search and rescue helicopter missions.
How has this tragedy for the state affected you on a personal level? I mean, you've said your home is going to be a total loss, but I mean, psychologically, emotionally, it can't be easy, because just getting from one day to the next right now, it is nothing like it was.
It's devastating. It really is devastating, and it's hard. It's hard psychologically to go in and see things. I know my daughter was brokenhearted because she had her great grandmother's Bible and it got destroyed. Some other sentimental items, you know, the things that belong to family members, that really bothers you, that you lose pictures, that family pictures and things like that. We will be okay. We have faith in God that He will take care of us and we'll eventually recover, emotionally and financially. We've got a good community people here, a lot of family that care for each other, that help each other out. My wife's a teacher. Her school's been coming down and bringing us some food as we clean up. There's no water, electricity, or anything. Friends have reached out to us from our church, from our old church when we lived in Ohio. They've reached out. Family members, cousins come down to help us clean out and shovel mud. So we're getting some help on the cleanup end of it. And we're going to be all right. It's going to be a long time. And some people won't ever recover financially or psychologically. I think my family is going to be okay. But some people got wiped out a year ago in a similar event that was about 4 feet. The water was 4 feet lower than it was this time, about a year and a half ago.
It sounds like you're having to do a lot of work just to prepare for a damage assessment. If I'm reading the situation correctly, even though it seems like the home is going to be a total loss, I guess you've got to prepare for someone to be able to do an inspection. Is that what's happening? Because you've got so much cleanup happening.
That's right. We had an insurance inspection today. Of course, my family, my wife has done a lot of the work. Me, some cousins, immediate family, in-laws, pretty much have removed everything from inside the house. I think we've took off like 6 or 8 trailer loads of personal belongings to the dump site, just soaked up with water. But the house is almost empty. It was empty enough for the insurance adjuster to come in and take a look at everything today. But yeah, we'll have to do all the cleanup with help from hopefully some friends and neighbors and maybe some volunteered organizations. I see Samaritan's Purse is pulled into the church parking lot next to my house, and Christian Aid Ministries from Ohio is here. So we appreciate all the help that all the volunteers and all the financial support to these groups like those that people send in.
What about the local and federal government response, including FEMA? From what you've seen, do you think enough is being done?
I couldn't say. We applied to FEMA and were denied. Someone told me you have to be persistent and reapply, but there's people a lot worse off than I am.
Which is really saying something, because your home, you know, appears to be a total loss.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. I didn't lose any people. That's the big thing. And we're safe. We live, our church has taken us in. We have one of the things we like to do for recreation is to camp. So I have a small camper and we're living in a camper. My church let us take the camper to the church where they have running water. So in the camper, we have, you know, a roof over our head, beds. We can take showers in the church and cook. So a lot of people don't have that much. I saw some tents along the railroad tracks a couple miles from here where people were living in tents. So a couple people that, well, there's places where bridges are washed out and people can't even get out to get to safety or whatever.
The Will Cain Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Cain as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
What else would help people on a day-to-day basis right now?
Probably compassion, people showing they care, people boots on the ground coming to help people clean up and put their lives together. If you can't, find one of those organizations like Samaritan's Purse or Christian Aid Ministries, and if you can, request that money go to the flood victims down here. Other than that, people just need prayer and a lot of support and a helping hand as they try to clean up and clean the mud up and do mold remediation in their homes. You basically have to go a few feet above where water touches in a house and just gut the house and replace everything that water touched. So people are going to have to be doing that. And the one thing we're figuring out right now is people's homes that they paid, you know, $100,000 for 10 years ago, to replace that home now is 2 or 3 times that. So it's, for some people, they're just not going to be able to afford to do that. And if they were insured for what it's worth, they're way uninsured now because of inflation.
Is there anything that you want people to know about Kentucky, or that you hope that they will come to know with all of the attention that this catastrophe has brought to the state?
The folks of Kentucky are resourceful people. Yes, there's a lot of folks here that live very simple lives, but they are some of the people that are some of the best people on earth. There's great people everywhere, but there's people here. A lot of people here are just some of the best people you'll ever meet. They're resilient. They'll bounce back. And we will bounce back as a community. And like I said, it'll be a while, but we appreciate everybody that's coming down to help out. And that's about it.
Well, Travis Bowling, I know you have a long road ahead, but we certainly wish you and your family and your state all the best. And you have our sympathies for everything that's happening.
All right. Yeah. As far as you're asking about the people of Kentucky, there's a lot of negative stereotypes out there, and there's negative stereotypes about people everywhere, but there's a lot of fine working people here that are very conservative, you know, just salt of the earth people working every day and living their lives, and kind of get a bad rap through the stereotypes and things and the trolls on the internet and all that stuff. But I can assure you that that the people of Eastern Kentucky are some of the best people on earth and work as hard as everybody everywhere. We usually just don't make as much money as everybody everywhere else doing the same things.
Well, we hope that it all somehow starts to get better soon, Travis. Thank you again for spending so much time with us.
All right. Thank you very much.
We also spoke to lifelong Kentucky resident Jeremy Noble, who lives in Jackson, too. He posted a message online directed at some of the world's richest people, including Bill Gates, Elon Musk, and Jeff Bezos, urging them to help one of the poorest parts of the country. We thought you'd like to hear that interview in its entirety as well.
Hi, Jeremy Noble.
Hello.
Hey, it's Lisa Brady. Thank you so much for speaking with us. We really appreciate it.
No problem.
I wish it could be under better circumstances, to say the very least. But we do thank you for your time, and I wanted to help get some of your message out. So I'm going to jump right in with a few questions. Is that okay?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I know that your home was not lost, and that your property in general was largely spared, you know, flood damage, or at least the most significant kind of flood damage. As a lifelong Kentucky resident, though, have you ever witnessed anything like this kind of damage from a storm in your state?
No. I was telling some people earlier, I said, I've seen pictures of Katrina and everything, and that was all horrible, but I had never seen it in person. This has to be comparable to that. And it's something that I feel like people would have to see in person to actually grasp the extent that it is. It's really sombering.
I know that you're in Jackson, correct? But your home place where you grew up, I guess, did have a lot of damage. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. After the waters receded, we traveled up that way to help some friends and family. Places were just obliterated. There were empty lots where you may not know there were places there before, and you wouldn't know at that time. But I mean, just to know that there was stuff there at one time, and then you'll see it along the creek banks, in the trees, power lines, power line posts just snapped in two like toothpicks. It's crazy to think about the strength of the water that was coming through there.
And where did you travel to? Was that around Hazard or a different area?
It was on 476. It's a little road that actually connects Perry County and Breathitt County. I have family in Rowdy in Perry County, and I also have family in Breathitt County. And that is all on 476 along Troublesome Creek.
Why did you put out this public message that you put out, essentially calling out some of the world's richest people by name?
I see posts and stuff all the time about them donating these large sums of money. And I live in the poorest region in the United States. I don't know that we ever see any of that. It's kind of crazy that they're out here saying that they're doing all this good for people, and we don't see any of it. I'm a case manager, and I try to help people, you know, get these opportunities. And they're few and far between, mostly on the government assistance.
Have you been hearing the same thing from friends, neighbors, relatives? You know, do your fellow Kentuckians feel left out? Do they feel neglected?
Absolutely. It just seems like there's opportunity everywhere else but here.
When you say opportunity, you mean in general. You don't just mean opportunity for help. You mean opportunity for, you know, a better future, different jobs, this kind of thing?
Correct. That's totally correct. I know I did a little research. One of the things that I mentioned in my post was about the Bill Gates Foundation. And one thing they're supposed to try to do is help people live better, more productive lives. We see no help from them that I am aware of. There's nothing here with their name on it. And I know that they get millions and probably billions donated every year. I know that Warren Buffett has pledged large sums of money, as well as Bill Gates himself, to that foundation.
What are you hoping comes out of this tragedy in Kentucky?
It's hard to say that anything good could come of it, but just an awareness of the people down here that they're not lost. They're good people that deserve good opportunities just like everybody else.
Jeremy Noble, we thank you very much for your time, and hope that you and all of your loved ones can stay safe.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeremy. Hang in there, okay?
Thank you.
Take care, sir.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com.